Hi, friends. Welcome to Radiant Restoration Podcast. Will you renew your mind, body, and spirit, restore your faith, and reveal your true identity in Christ? I'm Robin Snow, daughter of the highest king, wife, and mom to two wild boys. I'm a work-from-home mom who has experienced the overwhelming goodness of restoration in my life, and I'm here to share it with you as we walk through motherhood together. Are you tired of just going through the motions of life, have no idea who you are beyond a mother, and lack any confidence in yourself anymore? Well, Mama, go reheat that coffee and prepare to renew, restore, and reveal what transformations the King has in store for you as we discuss holistic health routines you can easily implement to renew your mind, body, and spirit, build your faith in God and His plan for you and your family, and find your identity in Christ and what He has called you to do for the kingdom. Ready for a whole new you through Christ? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me this week. I'm really excited about this episode. I do have a guest host this week. It's Jesse Lunsford, and I'm all the way from Mexico. I'm very excited to get to talk to her about her testimony, what the Lord has done in her life, and just very excited to have this opportunity. So, Jesse, if you want to go ahead and let us know a little bit about yourself.
Hi, guys. I'm Jesse Lunsford, and I am actually from the same hometown as Robin. Thank you so much for letting me be on your show. I'm super excited, super nervous, but we're going to get past it. I was born and raised in Mississippi, and I moved to Arizona when I turned 20. Right before my 21st birthday, and I had my beautiful son in 2012. I got married to my amazing husband in 2018, and now I have my 2.5-year-old little wildflower, and yeah, I stayed there about 10 years, and God just kind of, plopped me over here in Mexico, so I don't really,
So that is so awesome that you have ended up in Mexico. I would love for you to go a little deeper with that and kind of share with everyone what that looked like, what that part of your testimony where you felt like the Lord led you guys to Mexico. I would love for you to share a little bit about that with us.
Okay, sure. So it was 2020, right when COVID hit. My mom actually came to Rocky Point first, which is a beach town right here on the border of Arizona and Mexico. And so they call it Arizona to San Diego. So my mom she came down here for a month. And so that led me and my husband to come and, just vacation with her. Well, we fell in love with it. So after that month trip, we would come back and forth, just for like the weekend one time, a weekend another time, a week here, a week there. And then I found out I was pregnant here with our daughter. And so he's like, I just feel like the Lord is telling us that we need to move to Mexico. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think we're supposed to just visit, I'm not just going to go have a baby in Mexico, And then so we stayed in Arizona, and I was 8 months pregnant, and it was June in Arizona, and we didn't have air conditioner for 2 weeks. And he was up on the roof every day trying to fix it. And he came down one day and he said, I've been up there praying. And God told me, you have to let go of what you have if you want what I'm going to give you. And he goes, I know that you're scared and I'm scared, but he called me crazy, but God is telling us we're going to Mexico. And when he said that, I just said, you know what? Okay, let's just have the baby here. And then, it says you can't travel for the first few months after the baby is born, and then we'll see what happens. And that's what we did. We literally sold all of our stuff, packed up what we could, and we just kind of, traveled 3 hours traveled 3 hours from where we were living in Casa Grande. It's about 3 hours to where we are now in Mexico, so...
Wow, that is so amazing. That's really cool. I love to see people like taking that leap, because I know I've been in that place, not moving to another country, but definitely in a place where it was like, I knew that it was sent from the Lord. And I remember telling my mom, I was more scared to not be obedient to the Lord than I was of what would come, like what was to come. Cause I knew if it was something he was laying on my heart, just like with your husband, he probably knew like, this is scary. But when something is laid on your heart from God, it's like, you know, something good is going to come out of it.
Yes.
So that's very exciting. So y'all have been there about 4 years now, 3 years now?
Permanently about two.
Okay.
Because it took some time selling the house, and but we've been coming back and forth and here a total of 4 years.
Very, very cool. And so what are some of the things that you guys have gotten involved in since you've got there? So your husband was feeling called there, but what has like, missions looked like for you guys since you have gotten to Mexico?
Okay, so, you know, we came here and our mindset was, we're going to jump in church, we're going to do everything we can, we're going to, you know, we put so much on our plate, and that's not what happened. I have to be honest, we came here, so I have a background with drug use and alcoholism and severe depression, and, you know, what happened for me, and we were, when we came here, we were in alcoholism, okay, I hadn't went back, which I had been clean off of drugs for 5 years, but I was still an alcoholic. I was in denial. And so when we got here, like the margaritas were like $3 on the beach, you know, and I'm not going to lie. That was a selling point for me. Okay, so here's God. And then here's God's first. But then, of course, you know, I'm an alcoholic. So my alcohol, you know, it's pretty high up there. So $3 margaritas, okay, I could deal with this on the beach. I mean, you know, okay. So that led to drug use here because you could get it super cheap and super easy. And so I spiraled down. And then that took my husband down.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't relapse on drugs with me, but he was, you know, we were in our alcoholism. And, you know, that took about a year and a half. So then I had to go back to the States and went back to rehab. I came back to Mexico, relapsed again. So it took a while for us to actually start doing the ministry, the mission. And so now what we're doing is I hate to say that I started it, but God planted the seed, and I'm just his arms and feet. And it's called Cover a Need, Warm a Heart. And I started it in December, or maybe it was November. Anyway, it was cold. So I wanted to, like, give the homeless people and the people in prison blankets. And then shoes. And then socks. And now hygiene items. And now it's, like, the living water, the daily bread tracks, and just, you know, things like that. So we take it into the prison. I'm going to start taking blankets into the hospital. Right now I'm asking for sanitary napkins for women because I volunteer at the soup kitchen in our church. And so a woman yesterday came in and she needed it, and she has like anemia. So it was awful for her. And I gave her everything that the church had, but like it is a need. Like there are so many. It's just a big need. There's a lot of homeless people, and we're gonna start a course for how to be leaders and how to start churches.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's so exciting, and I'm glad that you didn't get down or, you know, didn't give up on what God had called y'all to do just because it was a little bit of harder road to it, or you were stumbling some, because I think one of the biggest things is realizing that when you do have something laid on your heart that's from the Lord, the devil is absolutely going to be coming at you, attacking you in every single way that he can think of. And, you know, as flesh and blood, we fall short. you know, we definitely fall short and have setbacks. So I'm really just proud of you that you kept it going. You knew that this was what God wanted y'all to do, even if it was in a different time frame than what you thought. I can see that now that you've gotten it going. It's like steadily growing, and that's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much. God has really done so much for me because I started drugs really, really young, and that molded me. That shaped my whole, I started when I was just a kid, so my brain kind of stopped growing. It kind of just stayed on that track, and my mom, and I grew up with a very, very dysfunctional family where they were married 3 times, divorced 3 times, and then they would separate. They separated, like, all of my childhood. It was, is my mom going to be home or is she not, you know? And am I going to have to try to stop them from, like, literally killing each other with guns, or am I not? Or, you know, so I remember being 12 years old literally praying every night that God would take my life. And you know, I was 12, and I had this this problem, this little girl issue, like, on my chest, and I thought, oh, no, it's cancer. But I was 12, so I said to God, I think that you're telling me I really don't want to die, and I'm sorry for praying that. And I never prayed that prayer again, but I think that God was speaking to me then. Mm-hmm. And I knew at that age I was supposed to be a missionary, but I thought it was for Africa. You know, so whether it's for Africa, I don't know, but I kind of like hope it's not for Africa because it's so far away and kind of scary. But if it's for Africa and he tells me, I'm going to go.
You know, right, so being obedient.
Being obedient. And I've always had a relationship with God, but I've always stumbled up until this past year. I just stumbled. I wanted it my way. And this last relapse, Ryan, my husband, he was leaving me, and he was planning on taking our child, and I just remember, like, I was stuck living with my mom here. She came to Mexico at this point, and so I was living with her, and it was just bad. It was drugs every day, and we were fighting, and I knew I was about to lose my whole family, and I just prayed, you know, and I just kept praying every day, and I would read my Bible, and I would take notes, and I just... God, I just made a phone call to a church. So I called and I just looked for a number in the phone book, and I think it was a church. I don't remember now. And I didn't know what to expect, but I was hoping in my mind, because I'm insane at this point, thinking that they would have a room for me and my daughter to just kind of stay at to get sober. Turned out it was an AA meeting. Well, he knew of an AA meeting. He started it. And so I had to go there, and it was a couple of days later, my husband came to visit me and the baby at where we were staying, and he just, like, God just softened his heart, you know, he just come home. And I went home, and we've been together ever since, you know, and we've been sober, and that was a little over a year ago, probably like 15 months ago. I don't know. God has just always been a part of my life, and he just, even when I, you know.
Yeah, I think that is a really good testament to that, that he can soften people's hearts to you when there's been hurt, when there's been disappointment, whenever, whatever has gone on, that, you know, it's not our job to work on the person, like, give it to God, and he can do amazing things at that. And, you know, I just want to point out, like, where, when I'm thinking about your time frame of everything you're saying, I can see, you know, that this last time when you came back to the Lord, when you really gave everything to him, like, look at how he's worked in y'all's lives in the last, you know, several months, and what you have been able to do. And I know for me personally, I'm like you. I grew up in church my entire life. I've had a relationship with the Lord my entire life. That doesn't mean my walk has always looked like I had a relationship with the Lord. I've definitely been the prodigal son who has left multiple times, you know, and it's always been like that for me. Back and forth. I'd be really plugged in for a while. Then flesh and blood would get the best of me, and I would spiral into
the same old habits that I had always been involved in, and then they just seemed to steadily get worse and worse, you know. So I think that people can relate with that, though, like us, that because it's that shows you that his unfailing, his unwavering love, that he never stops pursuing you. He never stops chasing after you. And he doesn't disown you or not love you because you fall short. You know, the day you came back to him after all that, he loved you just as much as he loved you in it. He loved you just as much as he's loved you through every single moment in your life, no matter how broken you felt at that time. His love for you never changed. And I think that's the most beautiful thing that we can look at, for sure.
It really is. I mean, so Romans 8 is one of probably my favorite chapters in the Bible. I mean, there's so many. I mean, how can you actually have a favorite? A couple of years ago, though, Romans 8:18, it says, and this would fit my life for all my backsliding and all the pain I felt and all the times I just wished I was, you know, not here. And it says, Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Like, how, that just gives me chill bumps. Like, when I'm in the present moment, and if it's something just absolutely horrible, I can go back and just say, you know what? I am so grateful for this feeling, A, because I can feel it, and I don't have to use or drink. B, I can feel this, and I can give it to God. C, Paul writes about, I think it's in, not Ephesians, Philippians, how, so, you know, like when we're suffering and we're supposed to rejoice in our suffering because we come to God, we need God, and when we need God and we, you know, go to him, he wants us to, we're his children. How great is it that God, it's like you just said, the prodigal son. I mean, I'm just, so if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him for us all. He will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. It amazes me. I don't want to say it dumbfounds me, but it kind of does. Right. It's like, do you know what I just did? Do you know what I just thought? It was terrible. Like, if he knows that and he still wants me, you know, I don't have any right to be. I'm reading this book about offense. I don't have any right to be offended. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't offended. When he was like, his all of his friends deserted him. When he died, you know, we have Peter denying him, Judas betraying him with a kiss, nevertheless, and we have the Roman soldiers. They mocked him and they hung him, and he just said, "Forgive them."
Mm-hmm. Like, forgive them because they know not what they do, and you know, I think that that's how he loves us. And he does have empathy for the ones that struggle with flesh and blood, because he knows, he's walked through this, and he, you know, he was sinless because of who he is, but he 100% understood what we would face in life. He knew what the devil would be capable of tempting his people with, and what the world would come to be. And, you know, and I don't think that, you know, he knows we're going to fall short. There's no doubt. He knows. And he knows that for some of his children, they're going to stumble a lot. They're going to stumble through a lot of different things. And like you said, he knows, and he still chooses to love you. So how could you complain about it, or how could you be offensive about what you go through, because you know who's going to carry you through it? And that's what he wants us to be. Like, if everything was good in life and we never went through any trials or tribulations, we would never be refined. We would never grow in him. We would never trust in him. You know, we wouldn't need him. Just think about your kids. They don't really want you unless they need something from you. It's a perfect way to think of, you know, and he needed to know that we would lean on him and that we would turn to him. But in that same aspect, we need to know that no matter what it is, no matter what we're doing, if you are literally in the middle of using and you decide to turn to God, God is there. You know, God, he is going to be there for that person. And that's the kind of love that it's just undescribable, you know, and I think once you wrap your head around that you don't have to be perfect to take yourself to Jesus, and he actually doesn't want you to. He wants you to come to him in his brokenness, because he can show you then what kind of father he really is. He can bring you through everything, and that builds your testimony. That reassures people of his goodness to see, you know, you come through those trials, but you be given all the glory to God for it. So,
yes, this makes me want to talk about another point. There are two types of love: phileo, which is conditional friendship. You know, intimate affection, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And then that's like us. And then there's agape, unconditional. That's the love that God shows us. And it's just like unfathomable. And it's just so great that, you know, he gives us these resources. He gives us these people that walk before us. He gives us these people that walk with us. He gives us the Bible most of all. And the fact that the fact that I used to be like this, it's fine. I'm saved. It's fine. I'm good. Why is my life not better? I thought, you know, ever since I became a Christian, you know, everything should just be better. My mom should be better. My dad should not have died the way he died. You know, like, I shouldn't be traumatized, and I shouldn't have this generational curses. So what's up? No, that's so wrong. That's not what it says. It says, if you are a Christian, you need to expect, in fact, consider it good to have trials and tribulations. And you know what? I welcome it now. And don't get me wrong, I cry and I feel depressed sometimes and I'm in the pain, but I rejoice in it. I rejoice. It's all about giving it to God.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I'm really glad that you brought up those points. So the last question that I kind of wanted to close on with you is, what do you, as far as mission-wise, is there anything new that you're working on, anything that you're hopeful for, that you'd like people to be praying about for you guys? I just wanted to know kind of what's to come. What do you think is to come for you guys?
Okay, so what's to come is to be leaders, to be ministry leaders in our church. What that looks like, where that's going to go, I'm unsure. I have a new fire within me that I believe was inspired by you, but given to me from the Holy Spirit, and that is, I think I'm supposed to be like a Christian motivational speaker. I think I'm supposed to use my story to help other people who deal with like dysfunctional childhood trauma, and I think I'm supposed to write. So I want prayers for provision, and that you know, provision for my whole family. And what's to come is just, there's going to be some school courses coming in to my church for ministry leaders specifically, and I want to be able to take that out and disciple. My only goal now is just to bring people to follow Jesus.
That is so awesome. I love that. Yeah, I feel like I've been moved in that same area lately. Like, it's this whole year has been crazy, honestly. Like, things I never thought I would do, but I don't know what's different about this time, but it's like, man, this time I am sold out to the Lord. Like, y'all can have this world. I'm done trying to live for it. So I totally get that and 100% support you in it. I think you have a great story to share, a great testament of God's goodness, his provision, how he does his protection. And it excites me to see people on fire for the Lord like that, especially people who have been through their fair share of trials and tribulations and are able to still give him the glory, and know that that's just part of your story. That's just part of the testimony, you know, and that we're able to help people just like that because of that. You know, if we hadn't gone through those things, that's going to be your people. That's going to be who you can help and who you connect to because they've been through similar situations, you know. And there's a lot more people that go through broken homes, go through struggles with addiction, with alcohol, with lots of different things that you've mentioned. And I definitely know that there's going to be plenty of people that you get to reach and help with that. So I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. I'm just very grateful for you as well. I mean, if you hadn't have, you know, listened to your calling, I wouldn't have started thinking I could do this. You know, you've really inspired me. You've really encouraged my walk as well. And I'm just super, I know I tell you this all the time, and words can also kind of be cheap, but if I could just, like, show you, like, I pray for you. I mean, I do pray for you, but I'm grateful for you, and it's just, I'm just super happy that you know, that I'm on your show, and I'm grateful, and I don't want to glorify myself, I want to glorify God, and...
Thank you for that. Yeah, that's really great, and I think you're doing a wonderful job of that, too, just of everything that he's done in your life, giving him the glory for it, so you're on the right track. I'm very, very excited for you. Well, thank you so much. I do want to close us out, all of us, in prayer, if that's good. Dear Lord, thank you once again for bringing us all together. I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for this vision of what this is. This is exactly what I would hope for it to be able to connect with other people who have been through similar situations, who have seen your goodness, Lord, and are just like I was, the prodigal son who has returned home, and you were there with arms wide open to lift us out of all the trials and tribulations that we've been through, Lord. I pray that everyone understands that through those trials, and that is when we go through the season of refining, Lord. That is when you can make us into the person that you want us to be. We have to go through that forging of that fire, Lord, for our imperfections to be revealed and to be able to begin to mold ourselves more like you, Lord. And I pray that you let each and every person listen know that they are not defined by their past. They're not defined by any mistakes they made, even if it was a mistake they made yesterday. They are not defined by that. They can call on you at any time, Lord, and you are willing and ready to help pull them out of anything that they may be in, Lord. And I just pray that Jesse and I both can continue to just be an inspiration to people to do that, Lord, to really dive into their calling of what you've called them to be, what you have given them the ability to do, all the wonderful gifts that you have given us, Lord. It truly is amazing what all you have done for your kids and how much you love us, that you instill in us these gifts and this helper. You know, the Holy Spirit is our ultimate helper, Lord, who is here to intercede for us on our behalf and to be one with you, even though you're not here physically, Lord. You are here with us every single day, and we thank you for that. I thank you for Jesse and her family, Lord, and I'm praying for provision through them. I'm praying for their ministry, Lord, that you will give her the courage to step out and to follow you, however that may look, and just pray for blessings over their family and for everyone else that's listening this week, Lord. I just pray blessings over them as well, Lord. And we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and it's in your holy and wonderful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robin.
So be sure to go give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram. You can find the information in the show notes. I look forward to seeing you guys next week. God bless.